Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and be joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
Oh, everything's going down. We are hurtling towards Christmas. I've not bought any presents.
Yes.
I am watching a lot of World Cup football. I'm working as hard as I can. I'm experiencing a lot of hangovers. It's just a usual Christmas. It's the usual Christmas period. With plenty of Christmas parties and Christmas whatnotery, but there's a World Cup in the middle, so I'm working harder than ever. So I can't wait to January, to be honest.
I've been enjoying the spectacular rise and fall of Japan in the last week when they beat Germany. A shock win. Everyone on Twitter was like, ha ha, Chris and Pete, your predictions were wrong. Fair enough, they were. Japan was so happy when they beat Germany. And I think everyone was, there's collective shock across the world. But in Japan, they were like, we should call it a national holiday this day. It's beating Germany at football day. And the share price in Hub, the awful British pub chain, the share price went up spectacularly because they assumed that people would be going there to drink and cheer on Japan. And then they lost to Costa Rica, and the shares that went up 15% went down 16%. So
yeah.
Hub made a share price loss overall. And the wind has firmly been taken, snatched from the sails of Japan. What are your thoughts, Pete, as the resident football pundit?
Oh, well, everyone was giving it the big licks because I'd said that Japan were going to get pumped against Germany. The thing is, I genuinely believed that they weren't going to get pumped, and I genuinely believed that they were going to do okay, because they've got a good side, and Germany are a bit of an head case, they've got troubles at the back, I think, and a couple of absences, and they've got quite old, creaky midfield, and so I genuinely thought that Japan might do something. But on the podcast, in passing, I said, well, by the time, you know, you guys listen to this, you know, Japan may very well have been pumped. And so I just got loads of like, oh, you predict this, Pete. But I don't remember really predicting it. I just said, in all likelihood, that might happen. That is just football. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But yes, Japan did very, very well against Germany. They really looked very leggy. And I think there were some very strange decisions by Mr. Manager in the second game. It was weird that they lost that one. So it all hinges on the final match. But unfortunately, that match is against Spain, who look all right.
Oh, dear.
But it was fun.
Poor old Japan.
It's been a fun World Cup. A lot of teams. The English team absolutely hammered Iran 6-2 first match. Second match, they managed to draw against the USA. Now, I don't think they really deserved to be booed off the pitch. There's something about football fans.
Booed
off the pitch. And it's like, you travel all the way to Qatar to support your team, and then you boo them off the pitch. There's something about the modern person, not even football fan, that has no sort of sense of scale or the fact that, like, football's going to be around for a very long time. So don't get upset because your team lose on a Saturday. You know, there's no kind of like,
there's
no kind of like idea that, you know, you lose one match, you might win the next one. You know, there's no, everything's like either the worst thing or the best thing. in the world. So yeah, it's been strange. I would never, I would never really boo my team off the pitch. I don't think anyway, unless Steve Bruce is in charge at Newcastle United, which is
an honourable man, Pete.
Yes,
honourable
man. So,
well,
yes.
Let's see what happens with Japan. I'm sure Japan will be annihilated by Spain, and my prediction will be wrong again. Okay, we'll see. But well done, Japan.
Wrong. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'd like Japan to do well. I'm cheering them on. I am. But I think I feel more loyal to Japan than the UK at this point. So we shall see. We've got a story here from Elliot this week, who says, "Hello there, Candyman Chris and Party Pete." He is Party Pete. That's why he's hungover. Back in March of 2022, I finally arrived in Japan to attend Japanese language school in Tokyo after an almost 2-year wait due to the border situation, and I had an arubaito part-time job while I was there. After searching and applying for many jobs, I got my first job offer to work as a babysitter for a very wealthy Japanese family in Tokyo. I'd never experienced babysitting. Oh, God, this is not good. But on day one, I learned that I actually wasn't going to do very much babysitting at all, but assist the many Japanese nannies at the home while speaking to the children in English. At first, I thought this would be a simple job, but quickly turned into a series of many awkward moments. The nannies expected me to be fluent in Japanese and follow the very strict schedule that was written out in Japanese. Hmm. Within the first 5 minutes of arriving at the job, the nannies, in broken English, instructed me to hurry up and stop standing around because they had a very busy day for the two kids. As the day went on, I proceeded to cause the kids to be late for their appointments because I had absolutely no clue what was going on and did not understand Japanese. After a long day of screw-ups, I was sure I would be fired, but to my surprise, I got an email from the mother saying the kids enjoyed my company and she wanted me back again for one more time. So even though the nannies weren't pleased with my work, I succeeded in the job of making the kids happy and thus turned out to be a very rewarding part-time job. Have you ever been in a situation in Japan where you were sure that you did terrible, but to your surprise, you were complimented at the end? Cheers, guys. Elliot.
Mm. And then they went down in the basement and there was a man living down there, and the whole family came round and lived in the house like the film Parasite. It sounds like this out of Parasite. Oh, God.
It does sound eerily like Parasite. He just stolen the plot from an award-winning film. Cheeky Elliot.
Yeah.
What a weird job, honestly.
That is strange. So you're basically like player liaison, you're kind of translator, but not really translator. You're confuser, if anything.
Confuser.
Mr. Confuser.
Yeah, I wonder what you taught the kids.
Yeah.
It's quite common, though, isn't it, where like they hire people in Japan to just sit and talk with kids and learn English. I remember we did a video back in March with American Pete, the American version of Pete Dolson, where he talked about how he ran like a daycare centre or something in Yokohama, and a woman would come in every week with her pregnant child, her fetus basically, and get Pete to talk to her stomach to educate the kid on the American English, which just makes no sense whatsoever and enraged me. But he was complimented for his work. So there's a story, Elliot. Yeah, Pete talking to a fetus.
Yeah, I mean, like, and
do you reckon the fetus came out bilingual? Do you reckon he came out and was like, "Oh, Mum,
I started talking
how
like
you
this.
Doing?
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, Ma? I'm in the world now. I'm out of your foof. Let's get drinks."
That would be a really good film. I'd watch that. The painter is like Benjamin Button.
Boss Baby. Hey, man, what's going on?
The curious case of Takahashi Sato. He came out speaking in a Kansas American dialect. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Fucking hell. Honestly, I don't know. The world of English language education in Japan is a very bizarre place. You know, I do in Akaiwa every Monday when I lived in Sakata my first 3 years. And, you know, half the people there couldn't speak English and just sort of turned up just to sit there and get out of the house, I think. And you'd ask them a question, and the ones that didn't know English, they'd sort of just nod there awkwardly. They'd nod and be like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." And it'd just be really awkward. Right. It's a very strange dynamic. You find people in Japan, when they hit 50, they regret not learning English because they realise they can't do much else other than just sit around Japan and just live out their final years doing nothing. And so there's a sort of a midlife crisis in Japan where they're like, "Shit, we need to learn English right now." So I'd get a lot of people in their 50s coming in and start learning English at that age so they could escape and travel the world. But yeah, the world of English. I don't think I've ever done something terrible though and been complimented at the end. I was probably a story in there somewhere. I'll have to think back to that, Elliot. But well done, and congratulations. As to the news of the week, though, Mr. Donaldson, what's going on in Japan this week? I'm guessing it's World Cup related.
It's World Cup related, Chris. The World Cup is on. The World Cup's happening. It's in Qatar. It's extremely problematic. But the Japanese fans have been delighting the rest of the fans at the World Cup, turning up to matches that they're not even involved in, the fans, and just tidying up, basically.
Marie Kondo style.
They do this sort of every kind of World Cup, be it rugby, be it the Olympics, be it whatever. The Japanese fans love a big tidy up. Japanese players are famous for tidying up the team dressing room afterwards, hanging up the towels, cleaning the floor, leaving thank you notes and things like that. And after Japan lost 1-0 Costa Rica on Sunday, Japanese supporters once again picked up everyone's litter in the stand. It's kind of like... this is kind of what they're kind of known for, if that makes any sense. Japan coach Hajime Moriyasu says, for Japanese people, this is just a normal thing to do. When you leave, you have to leave the place cleaner than it was before. That's the education we've been taught. That's basic culture we have. For us, it's nothing special. And the Japanese Football Association supplied 8,000 trash bags to help the fans pick up after matches with a thank you message on the outside, written in Arabic, Japanese and English. And it's very ingrained in Japanese culture, cleaning up after yourself, unless you're on Mount Fuji, there's trash everywhere. You're in a situation where you are the fans are just very into tidying up, almost to the point, Chris, that I think they might be getting something sexual out of it. I've decided. I think it's a bit kinky. I think it's just that's the reason why they sort of turn up to World Cups, so that they can tidy up. But it's kind of like It's an interesting little quirk of Japanese society, that sort of thing the fans really, really love. But I would say that for me, I do sort of go, it's a bit kinky. It's a little bit kinky.
There's something suspicious going on. It's depressing, isn't it? The British are the ones creating the mess.
Yes.
The Japanese tidying it up.
Yeah, part of it is very, very, very depressing. There was a sociologist, a German sociologist, I believe, Barbara Hothus, spent the last decade in Japan, basically said that cleaning up after oneself is ingrained in Japanese culture. You're always supposed to take your trash home in Japan. There are no trash cans on the street, which is very true in many areas, which is very annoying. From an early age, you clean your classroom. You learn that you are responsible for the cleanliness of your own space. Most Japanese elementary schools don't have janitors, so a lot of the cleanup work is left to the students, which is interesting.
It is, yeah. I remember at the end of every school day, at like 3:30, they'd have the sort of 20, 30 minutes of cleaning, and all the students would get like brushes and vacuums and hose pipes, and they'd clean up the whole school every single day.
Yeah.
And the school was absolutely spotless. They saved a lot on cleaning staff, so... That's something we should steal from Japan. Child labour.
Yeah.
I like to get the students to clean the fucking school for you, and you save a couple of grand a day. Is it beautiful? Is it wonderful? Is it clever? Is it sinister? You decide. But there's no doubt Japan is a lot cleaner. The trains. I mean, on a Japanese train, you sort of clean your seat and take all the rubbish to the bin yourself. And at the restaurants, often fast food restaurants, it's expected that you take the rubbish with you. I was with my friend Dave, my editor, who's over here at the moment doing a few things, and we went out for dinner at Mos Burger, which you should never do. It's the worst burger restaurant in the world. But we finished the meal, and I put my stuff in the bin. He just left his there on the table. I was like, whoa, back up. Get your rubbish. Put it in the bin. This isn't London anymore. Tidy up your own rubbish. So it becomes ingrained in you when you live here. Yeah. You keep things tidy. You keep things clean. I remember if you drop a bit of tissue or a bit of paper on the floor while you're walking, you go back and you pick it up in a way that you might not necessarily do in the UK. Mm. You just feel like everyone's doing their part. And that's a really nice thing.
Yeah.
It's a team effort. Keep the land clean.
Certainly is. Keep the land clean.
Keep the land clean.
Keep the land clean, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Absolutely. But apparently Japan's been doing this for quite a long time, right? This is, you said earlier that this is something that happens a lot. I remember the last World Cup, which was, when was that? 2018-ish?
Yeah.
I remember at the time this was a news story we discussed then, because everyone was like, wow, the Japanese are clearing up the stadium. So it feels like only yesterday. And apparently they've been doing it since like 1998. This goes back to the World Cup in France, the 90s. And I think it's a very clever PR stunt.
Yeah, but it shouldn't. I guess it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a thing that never happens with fans and supporters and teams and stuff. You know, that should be like bare minimum. But yeah, I mean, why doesn't everybody just take their trash home with them? That's what I don't understand. Or at least take it to a bin.
Absolutely. Here, here. That's what we want on the Born Japan podcast. Cleanliness. Get rid of your rubbish.
Cleanliness.
That's what Marie Kondo wants. Clear up. If it's not, if it doesn't inspire joy, chuck it in the bin.
Nothing in my life inspires joy, Chris. Nothing.
Oh, chuck yourself in the bin. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with the fax machine, your stories, comments, and questions.
Ooh.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
Hello, Ethan from Portland, Oregon, USA. You've emailed the show. Dearest Christofascist Chris and Patriarchal Pete.
Christofascist? What the fuck is that?
It's Christian fascism, Chris. I guess your name is Chris, so that part of it, you're just really fascist about being Chris. Chris or fascist, maybe. And Patriarchal Pete.
I
have recently gotten hooked on a style of fly fishing that originates from Japan called Tenkara. This has got me wondering about the popularity of fishing as a hobby in Japan. How popular is it for your average Japanese person to take a jaunt out to the countryside for a lovely day on the water? How popular is fishing? Surely it is quite popular. It must be up there with golf. You see a lot of people with fishing lines off, like hanging off the side of rivers and the length and breadth of the country.
If you go to any coastal port in Japan, there's always lots of folks fishing there, and it's like a popular thing to do when you've retired. And you know, Japan's has very fertile fishing waters. Mm. When Ethan mentioned the fishing as a hobby, I thought he was going to bring up like the Ikejime method. You know about the Ikejime method of killing fish, Pete?
No, what's
Ikejime?
That?
Ikejime. It's basically a way of killing the fish that makes it more delicious. Maintains the quality of meat. Like when you kill a fish, apparently it secretes all these hormones and things.
Oh, when it dies,
the shock
right.
of dying throughout its body, and it ruins the flavor. In Japan, they do something that basically sever the spinal cord, causing immediate brain death. So none of these harmful things are secreted throughout the fish's body.
So I mean, you just chop the head off. It sounds like you're chopping the head off. I mean, that sounds like where would the best place to sever a spine? Probably like the head in it. There's nothing about food preparation or meat preparation that doesn't make you go, yeah, we're the bad guys, aren't we? Like, you know, that as a fish lover and a meat eater. There's no part of getting that food onto your plate that makes you go, yeah, glad that happened. It's so dissonance that you got fucking, you know, opted into. Very strange.
In August, the last time I did fishing was actually in August, and the last time before that was like 100 years ago. But Connor was like, oh yes, we must go fishing in fucking Saitama for my video. I was like, okay, is this going to be interesting? But Connor was like, fishing is life. Fishing is all.
Right.
So we went fishing. We went fucking rainbow trout fishing in the middle of nowhere. And got eaten alive by a million mosquitoes. But it was kind of fun. But there was a horrible moment where I had to kill the fish that I'd caught. And I was just not up for it. It just felt awful. Battering its head over a bucket. And, you know, there was a lot of guilt. In the end, I think I got Connor to do it. Because he's just ruthless, right? Ruthless man.
Ruthless man.
What I will say was, the fish was fucking delicious, though. We stuck it in the oven. After put a bucket of salt over it. Stuck it in the oven. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That's good.
Stick.
Well, I'm reading up on this Tenkara, literally fishing from heaven or sky fishing, and it's basically there's no reel. It's reel insects on bait. It's a traditional Tenkara is like reelless, so you don't have a reel and you stand, because you see them in people wading through the rivers. It's a little bit more, because we have an idea of, like, I was chatting to David Seaman, the Arsenal goalkeeper, on Friday night. Fucking good bloke, like really my favourite footballer. I want to hang out with him unless he's done something problematic. I disavow myself massively. Really nice bloke, but all he does, he doesn't do any punditry. He doesn't do any kind of football work anymore. He just eked out a life near Reading where he just goes fishing every day. He loves fishing.
Really?
It's his favourite thing. But we have an idea of, like, fishing is like being like just two old boys on a side of a river, just sat drinking cans and eating sandwiches and fishing. But the Tenkara fly fishing, you're wading around, you're walking around, you know, you're walking up and down a shallow stream and stuff. So it's a very different vibe, I would say. It's a lot more involved, but sounds amazing.
Fishing from heaven.
Fishing from heaven.
I don't know. I still don't really see the appeal of fishing, but maybe one day when I can't walk and I'm bored, I will take it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not against anyone fishing. Connor loves fishing. Maybe I could be converted. As I said, it was delicious. And if you could catch it, cook it, eat it, then I see the appeal. Then I see where it's going to be fun. But, yeah. Go David Seaman. I remember David Seaman. He was like all the rage when I was a kid.
All the rage. Nice to know he was everywhere.
Fine life. doing his fishing outside. Look,
genuinely lovely. Because I'll occasionally bump into a footballer and, you know, we'll have a forced conversation about fucking diddly squat. But he was genuinely interested in what I had to say. He even entertained, I think I've sort of sprained or possibly fractured my little finger playing in goal.
Oh, no.
And he even entertained me saying, oh, David, I've really hurt my little finger playing in goal.
Oh.
He's giving me goalkeeping advice and stuff.
Should have sold him on the Abroad Japan podcast. That's what I expect, Pete. But go, David Seaman. We've got a story here from Matt from Austin, Texas, who says, hello, St. Patrick's Day and Christmas.
Ooh.
Bloody hell. I get worse by each and every one. I have a job working in radio and was curious to know if radio was popular in Japan. I have a theory that since people in Japan drive much less than people in the States do, radio listenership would be much lower over in Japan. Do you think this theory holds any water? Much love, Matt from Austin, Texas. I don't know, Matt, because Japan's population is older and I think listen to more conventional forms of media, whether it's radio or maybe it's watching TV. They're more sort of in tune with that as opposed to podcasts and YouTube. So I don't know. I guess that could be a factor. Generally, though, when you go into like a little ramen shop, a mum and pop restaurant or ramen shop or something around Japan, you find it's usually a TV that's on in the corner, right, Pete?
Mm.
You sort of go in, there's always a TV, as opposed to radio. They usually have a TV on. So I think TV's probably the winner. What do you reckon?
We obviously... my first trip to Japan with you, we visited Sakata and the hotelier with the mostelier he brought us to his community station and we did a little show.
That's true, yeah.
On the rainiest day ever. Because obviously at that time I was a radio DJ still and it was quite nice to sort of hear what community radio was like in Japan and it just looked like you know, like those side missions in Yakuza where you just go into like an office, like a taxi driver's office, and there's just like paper everywhere. It was just basically that, really. It was just there was the map of where the transmitter sort of transmitted to, but it was just nice sort of seeing a little community station. I would have liked to have seen what a Capital Radio or a Nova, like a big radio station would look like in Japan. But whenever you go into a hotel, there's always the radio's either on or you have access to an old radio sort of thing from the 70s on their 70s kind of like bed. Do you know what I mean? When you go like an old business hotel and there's always, you've always got a little radio and stuff. But it always seems to be talk radio. And obviously I have no idea what anyone's saying.
Yeah. No, that's quite cool, actually. I forgot about that. Yeah, if you go into certain older business hotels in Japan, they have the radio built into the light panel, like right by the head of the bed, right?
And it sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Very evocative, though. Oh, man.
Yeah. I love the way you describe radio in Japan as a Yakuza side mission.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's the Yakuza side mission where you go and you've got to do a side mission where you've got to deliver some papers or something because Japanese JRPGs, they do take liberties with your time, to be quite frank.
Yeah, and the bloody cutscenes are endless.
Yeah.
That's why I don't play Japanese games anymore. we got one here from Austin from Oregon. He says, hello, pirate Pete and Captain Chris.
Mm.
I'm traveling to Japan in January 2023 and I went out and bought a drone specifically for my trip, the DJI Mini Pro 3. And ooh. I was wondering if there's any restrictions to bringing and using my drone in Japan. It would really suck to get to Japan and have the thing confiscated at the airport. Best from Austin in Oregon, USA. Japan does have some new drone laws. I recently had to buy a new drone because my Mavic 2 Pro didn't have some sort of antenna or new piece of equipment in it that DJI have put in that's able to have the drone get tracked or something. So my wonderful drone that never failed me, I've had to sort of retire it. But I bought a brand new drone, the DJI Air 2S, and it's been really great so far. The Mini 3 Pro is good, but you do need to get a permit online and you need to sort of register your drone and register your... sort of that you're a pilot and then you should be good to go. They won't confiscate it when you're in Japan,
no,
but they might sort of say, oh, get a permit on a guy shamas, but I'd recommend doing the permit in advance because it's a bit of a headache and it's not overly fun, but they have got it in English, so as a foreign tourist you should be able to do it quite effortlessly. And Japan's a great place to fly a drone. Isn't it, Pete? You love a drone.
I love a drone. I love watching you fly a drone. I love watching you fly a drone.
I was in an abandoned mine yesterday with PewDiePie of all people, flying a drone around. It was
just hanging
so
out, just hanging out with PewDiePie in a mine.
Yeah, it was a little
bit
weird, really.
If it's something that you'd make with, like, I don't know, Cards Against Humanity or something, just like or like kind of improv or something. Imagine this and this and this. It's Chris Broad in a mine.
we hang out in Tokyo and go surfing, but it was time for him to come up to the studio, get a grand tour.
Get
and
in I was the mine. Like, get in my mind.
Like, what kind of cultural things would he like in North Japan? And is it a temple? Is it a shrine? No, it's an abandoned mine, biggest in fucking Asia at one point. This massive mine, it closed down in the 60s. It's so cool. I love that place. Oh. I did a video on it years ago, but I didn't film it. It was just us wandering around a mine. I was pretty scary. We had to go through this like 2 meter long grass at one point, and I just pictured bears coming out and eating us and nobody knowing where we were. Because we didn't tell anyone, we had no phone signal. Could have been a really sad end. But there you go. I think he filmed it, though. He might be filming it. It might come out on his channel. We'll see. But yeah, and when you come to Japan, I will also give you a tour of the mine.
Of the mine.
If you so desire it.
Well, I'm obsessed with these guys who go around old abandoned mines in America trying to find jeans. Old jeans.
Jeans?
Which is just a bit like...
Jeans?
Yeah, old jeans from like the 1800s, the late 1800s. Apparently they're very... valuable, I think. Like they were made in a different way. Like they're weirdly, like really old jeans seem to like attract a lot of interest when it comes to antiques and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know who would buy a pair of jeans you find in a bloody bloody mine, but seems to be.
Well, when you come over, we'll go down the mine, look for some jeans. Yep. I'm sure we'll find some jeans in the rooms full of asbestos. I do worry actually about some of the rooms I went in that mine look pretty ropey. And some of the stuff coming out of the wall looked a bit sketchy. I also nearly trod on a nail the other day while exploring an abandoned village with Connor. I stood on a rusty nail. It went through my shoe and touched my skin but didn't pierce my foot.
Good God.
Hopefully I haven't got tetanus.
Lordy.
Fingers crossed. We'll find out in the next episode of the Abroad Japan podcast. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, be careful. Don't stand on a rusty nail. And we'll be back later in the week to do all over again, right back here on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
My rusty nail. Soundgarden.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.